O generous God, this word, your word. For this story of life beyond death, we give you thanks. With joy, we celebrate the presence of your risen word in our ears and through our eyes. Enliven our hearts with it, that we might also speak your good news of eternal and abundant life. And help us never to use our reason against your truth. Amen. I was so grateful a few weeks ago when I looked ahead in the lectionary. It's been more than a few weeks, a handful or two. I was grateful to see that we were not going to be reading the lesson about the Ethiopian eunuch for Mother's Day. Whew! So we avoided that uncomfortable conversation. But I didn't immediately recognize that the backdrop for today's story in the book of Acts has to do with the distinction between the circumcised Jews and the uncircumcised Gentiles as a part of the early believers of Jesus in the church. More than maybe an embarrassing conversation, this story also brings with it rife and divisive separation. Not really great themes for Mother's Day. It's perhaps even a story that could be written right out of 2021, where we talk about circumcised and uncircumcised, or vaccinated and unvaccinated, believers and non-believers, red states, blue states, in person, online, Democrats, Republicans, those who went to the tomb and saw Jesus first, and those to whom Jesus appeared later, those who said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, and those who say something and who witness to what they have seen and experienced maybe even years and generations later. A favorite pew on the west side. A favorite pew on the east side. There's Protestants and Catholics, Pepsi and Coke, mayonnaise and Miracle Whip, white bread and whole wheat bread. And while today's story comes out of this context of division over opinion and practice, once again, the witness of the earliest of believers, only a generation or two removed from Jesus' resurrection, speak to unity of our faith and practice and hope, pointing directly to the tangible ways of living our lives more intimately connected with God's kingdom rather than our own kingdoms. From 1 John in chapter 5, "By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world." So believers and followers of Jesus are called to love God and to love one another, to do unto others as we have done, as we would have them do unto us, to love our neighbor as ourselves. These, of course, aren't all the commandments, but they're surely a fair place to start, don't you think? Today's mark for believers and followers of Jesus is receiving. Receiving. As in people we would not expect, having already received the gift of the Holy Spirit without asking us first. As in having the Holy Spirit come and inhabit them, especially when we have not thought it possible. Yes, it's the same Holy Spirit that we will celebrate in a couple of weeks on Pentecost that comes and inhabits people in the whole church, the flaming tongues of fire alighting on people, and the sign that the Holy Spirit has been given and received, and the benefit of its power residing with the church and all of God's people. Not only for the purposes of faith and believing, but also that we might become full participants in God's kingdom. Today's story from the book of Acts has Peter being summoned by a vision and the Holy Spirit to go and see a man named Cornelius. Cornelius lives in Caesarea. The first 43 verses in chapter 10 before today's reading tell us and describe Cornelius almost in like terms to any believer. There was a man named Cornelius who lived in Caesarea, captain of the Italian guard stationed there. He was a thoroughly good man. He had led everyone in his house to live worshipfully before God and was always helping people in need and had the habit of prayer. We don't have to be Jewish to understand from the description that Cornelius is obviously a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, an outsider, an unchosen somebody. Because Jesus was Jewish, because he clearly had a special relationship with and to the Jewish people, early believers and followers thought that everyone who would come to follow Jesus would be or become Jewish first. That would be the first stop on the train. Convert to Jewish faith, then you could become a Jewish Christian. It's like we keep hearing that vaccinated people may have special privileges that non-vaccinated people may miss out on, like being able to travel abroad and other things. Early believers distinguished between circumcised believers, Jews and Jewish converts, and non-circumcised believers, the Gentiles, even within the Jesus movement. And part of that may be simply because circumcision was the ancient sign that one belonged to God's people. We should mention, of course, that women were exempt. Unfortunately, in the first century world, women were second-class believers, like Gentiles. Well, that would be the best sense, because usually they were even a peg or two lower than Gentile believers. Jewish circumcised believers and followers of Jesus just assumed that in order to be and become a part of the kingdom of God, you had to be circumcised. Much the same way that Jewish believers also thought that believers and followers of Jesus had to follow all the Jewish dietary laws. All of this is the rather elaborate backstory to what is told in the first few verses of today's reading, when basically Peter and some Jewish circumcised companions going to see Cornelius witness the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Cornelius and his household, even though they were Gentiles. Even though they shouldn't or wouldn't ordinarily have been counted among believers. And Peter simply presumes to do as he has witnessed to and seen occurring, to welcome them into the household of believers just like everybody else. To welcome them as is, even if they were not circumcised. But here would seem to be the point. Anyone can be or become a believer and follower of Jesus. Jews, certainly, even Gentiles, in this case, even a Gentile and Roman soldier, and not just him, but his entire household. Everybody. Our story and its description of Cornelius bears out the calling that is for all believers and followers in chapter 4. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Even before Peter ever arrived, Cornelius was said to be a thoroughly good man who led his house to worship and was already committed to prayer. The Holy Spirit had already taken up residence. The other necessary pieces were to have fellowship with the apostles, to be baptized, to formally receive the Holy Spirit, all of which can come when Peter visits Cornelius. And even though Cornelius and his household were not circumcised Jewish converts, they jumped the line. So the question in our world may really be something like, who seems so unworthy and why? Because the Holy Spirit, it seems, has a way of pulling believers together, even of moving out in front of us, being ahead of us all the time and finding others who can become a part of us, or we a part of them, across what may seem to be many, many divisions. East Siders and West Siders, Coke fans and Pepsi fans, uncircumcised believers and circumcised followers, poor and rich, Biden fans and Trump fans, people who travel by train or on a plane. What matters is who has received the Holy Spirit and really received the Holy Spirit. How do we tell? These might be the measures, how we might measure or tell who's in and who's out. Commitment to the teachings of the apostles, life together, the common meal, and prayer. Being a thoroughly good person, leading others to live and worship before God, always helping people in need and having the habit of prayer. Loving God and keeping God's commandments. Those who receive the Holy Spirit bear these realities in their being. God has found them, and by these realities we can see and recognize and know that faith has begun to blossom. We can see it in others. How about ourselves? How are we doing? Living as we do in this world of utter divisiveness, and that we often contribute to it by drawing our own lines in the sand and standing our ground and insisting on our own way and squeezing the opportunities for God's love. Some of my mother's sage advice was always, be careful who your friends are because you'll be guilty by association. I've noticed, though, especially in my adult life, that Jesus seems to associate with a lot of discomforting people. But maybe that's because he's really careful about who his friends are, namely the disciples and followers, and then there's all of us too. If we're living in the ways that God invites us to, it shows. Not just by who we associate with, and not just by who our friends are, but what we're doing in the world, how we're living. If we're living in the way that God invites us to, it means we have received the Holy Spirit, and we bear the signs of the Spirit in the world for others to see. If we've received the Holy Spirit, shouldn't it mean that we're challenging some of the traditional conventions of the world by watching for the signs of the Holy Spirit being poured out on more people than just ourselves? By loving our neighbors and helping them and sharing with them and giving to them? By advocating even for a kingdom that's contrary to this world? Because that's what we're hoping for, a kingdom that calls us beyond the divisiveness of the world, a kingdom that claims us from all the things that would divide us, opportunities for us to imbue grace and peace where violence and division have seemed to reign. And so the question might be for us, what have we received in the Holy Spirit? With what do we have to be grateful with? How can we declare for the world the grace and love and joy that has come to us? And how can we help this world come closer and closer to the kingdom that God has destined us for? All authority and power and dominion to the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord, now and in the age to come. Amen.